listening to Get Sports Radio.
Episode 7 of the Get Sports Info Podcast. I am your host, Dan Claskins. And man, I'm happy to be talking with you. Football season's right around the corner. We're getting you ready here on the podcast. And if this is your first time listening in, well, welcome. Thank you for joining us. Hope you like what you hear. If you're a regular, well, we always appreciate you coming back and very excited about the early momentum we got going on. Can't believe we're already on episode 7, trying to pump it out weekly. Year-round, talking some fantasy football. We'll probably do it even more than weekly once we actually get into the season. Some quick takes today, a real quick episode, but our 7th episode. If you missed out on any of this episodes previous, we just got done breaking down the AFC East with my buddy John Lobb. We've talked some rookies, how the impact of the draft had with Evan Tarasciano, and definitely got into some of them early season ranks as well. Check out all the archives on our website, GetSportsInfo.com. You can also subscribe to the podcast on iTunes as well as Google Play. We're on Stitcher now, too. Really excited about that. So we'll talk quite a bit about that. And always in SoundCloud as well. So plenty of places to get the podcast. It's up to you. You just got to subscribe, check it out. You can follow along. Always listen to it here at Get Sports Info. Check out the blog as well at my hashtag My One More Things, the name of the blog at GetSportsInfo.com. It's where I'll be writing about some football stuff for sure, but just all things sports as well as some things off the beaten path a little bit. A lot of great stuff going on there. And you can check out my blog post about my participation in the Great Cycle Challenge. Yeah, so if you're not familiar with that, it's going on all month. So really a great cause. It's put on by the Children Cancer Research Fund. And, you know, children cancer, a big deal. Something that I haven't personally had to endure with, obviously, my child, Jessica. She hasn't had it. Not anybody in my family necessarily, but just the stories and the number of children that are exposed to it, it brings tears to my eyes as a parent. I got to be honest here with you. And, you know, you look at what they're doing there, the fact that over 15,700 American children diagnosed with cancer every year, and sadly, 38 children a week die from cancer. And as I said, as a parent, this is just simply heartbreaking. So the Great Cycle Challenge, I've committed to get my lazy butt off my bike, which, by the way, my daughter is going to be 6 this summer. I haven't ridden this thing regularly since well before she was born, but I busted out the bike and I've committed. You can do as many miles as you want. I put out 50. And, you know, I'm getting a little hazed at times. Why are you going so low? Well, one, I'm out of shape. But two, you know, I'm pretty busy. So 50 miles in my out of shapeness, I mean, that's about 10, 12 rides during this month of June. I'm already on my way. I'm also trying to raise $500. Need some help there. The kids need your help as well. If you're interested in helping me help the kids beat cancer, kick cancer's butt, you can check out the link there. I would love for you to get involved. You can follow along my journey, see some of my rides. Each time I go on a ride, I'm trying to do a little longer here. And we're gonna get to the goal. We're gonna crush the goal on both, and we can do that with your help. Once again, I got that link available for you. You can go there. It's on my Twitter profile, pinned to the top. Check out the Great Cycle Challenge. Also, while you're there, you want to check out a lot of my fantasy takes. I love talking fantasy with you at Dan Claskins on Twitter. And I really can't wait to return to SiriusXM Fantasy Sports Radio, a 6th season. I'll be the host at Fantastics Insider Football. My good buddy James Adams, he'll join me all off-season long. We'll be Saturday and Sunday. Probably just go on back on the Saturdays once the season starts all the way through January. But plenty to talk about. But I can't wait till then. That's the whole purpose of this podcast. And you know, you can check it out all year round, as I said. And we did get noticed. We are on Stitcher now, too. I've had a few of you get a hold of me, say, man, you got to get up on Stitcher. And so we're doing that. We're growing it every week. More exciting things ahead there. As you know, or may not know, I have taking a freelance job as a writer and ranker at Pro Football Focus and starting to get going up on that. Happy to be part of the team there. One of the, obviously, according to FSTA, the best single sport website in the industry, 3 years running, and doing the best I can to keep living up to that type of great example that has been laid out by all those that write and work there at Pro Football Focus. I just wrapped up my first staff mock draft as part of Pro Football Focus. We did a 16-team PPR league. I mean, that's deep, real deep. And, you know, you look at a 16-teamer. I actually sort of like the fact that I drew the 15th pick there in round number one. But I'll tell you what, it gets thin quick when you get beyond a 12-teamer if you haven't done it. I do encourage you to try to play in at least one larger league if you get a chance, because it certainly puts a lot of emphasis to me on the draft. This is just a mock draft. We're not playing out. As I mentioned, I had the 15th pick in a PPR league, and I was really hoping to maybe have one of my top five running backs fall to me there, but unfortunately, LeSean McCoy and Melvin Gordon went out on pick 10 and 12. I went with Jordy Nelson. Didn't love it. He was the ninth receiver taken, but 15th on the board. I've got him in my top 15 still overall in a PPR league, but what I love about getting that receiver late, I've seen this in a lot of mocks too, is on the back end, I was able to grab Jay Ajayi there at pick 2.2 in this 16-team PPR. And I know there's some debate in the industry where he falls. I am certainly bullish on him. I'm a believer that, you know, I get it. He's got durability concerns. I'd like you to find me more than a few running backs in any top 10 rankings where I can't question the injury history of said player. But they're going to commit to giving him the volume. So getting Ajayi on the back end of Nelson, really liked it there. I'd reached a little bit at pick 315. I don't think so, though. 45th overall. I took Bilal Powell, another player I'm bullish on, one that's been a little trendy in the industry. I was hoping to get a little bit higher up on my board for my wide receiver, too, but I settled for Dante Moncrief, that is, the 29th receiver to go off this board at pick 4.2. By the way, Bilal Powell, I got him. He was the 19th running back off the board, so it wasn't like I was reaching too far. I'm pretty confident that this guy is a top 20 PPR running back. If this was a half point PPR or a standard, I may have gone in a different direction there, but that was sort of my thinking. And then from there, I'm not going to go over every pick here, but just to give you an idea, Delaney Walker, is my fifth round pick, and Matt Ryan. And there were, in a 16-team league, I just wanted to get that starting tight end and that starting quarterback that I had in my top five. Because I believe if we were playing that out, that'd be something that could be a differentiator. But, you know, there's different strategies, and this was the one I definitely employed here. So I was sort of looking to do that regardless of the picks. And I'm pretty ecstatic about getting Matt Ryan at that point of this draft. I know that there were still some pretty good quarterbacks, but you got to remember, picking on the swing here, there's a long way between picks after I make those back-to-back picks. And not to mention, I got Mike Clay sitting there I can't tell you how many times he took the player I was hoping coming back to me on the second time, at least three or four times in the draft. But what else would you expect with somebody, a player of his caliber? But no, you get in there and you look at this thing, and I encourage you to check it out at Pro Football Focus. My complete team is also there on my Twitter handle. I did like the way it came back overall, so was very interested in seeing that. But you want to look at a challenge in yourself. Try a 16-team PPR mock draft. Even you don't have to play the thing out, but just see how it goes. Bilal Powell, my RB2, my RB3, LeGarrette Blount. I got Jaquizz Rodgers and Joe Williams pretty late in a 16-teamer. I'm a Carlos Hyde guy too, so Joe Williams, it's not with the fact I was drinking the Kool-Aid. I just felt like he was the best guy available there. And then on the rest of my receivers, Allen Hurns, Kenny Britt, and Kenny Stills. I had Britt as my wide receiver three there. There's some upside. If they can get any type of advancement in their quarterback play from a year ago, I think Britt's a nice value pick there, and one that we'll certainly be keeping our eyes on. Also, some recent articles I've got up there at Pro Football Focus. My first article I debuted were five surprising fantasy starters. I definitely encourage you to check that out. The one that is up there today as I record this podcast, as we sit here on June the 9th, by the way. I meant to throw that out at the beginning. But, you know, you're looking at the the big blow-up numbers we've seen by quarterbacks here in recent times. What does that mean for fantasy standpoint? I really did an in-depth look there, broke down several different metrics, but you know, just a little snippet preview of that for you. It was just how good was the season we saw by Aaron Rodgers last year? How good has this guy been in recent seasons? And I mean, there's no doubt that he was the top fantasy producer at the position a year ago. He actually became the first quarterback in league history to throw for over 4,000 yards, to have 39-plus passing touchdowns while rushing for at least four scores and compiling 350 or more yards on the ground. And I think that's pretty remarkable. And, you know, I think the fact that the quarterback is a little bit more mobile in general, but that's definitely been what makes a difference to me and Aaron Rodgers, even entering this season, why he's that number one quarterback. You're talking about a guy that's hit 300 yards on the ground, and every season he's gone uninjured since 2009. He's averaged 21.4 rushing yards per game, 21 rushing touchdowns during that stretch, and his positional finish year by year. Last year he was first, in 2015, seventh, and 2014, second. We're going to throw 13 out the window. That was the year we had the injuries. And then he was first or second in four previous years before that, including three QB1 finishes. So Aaron Rodgers, a stud. I think my biggest takeaways and what I make a case here for in the argument, yeah, I get it. You don't want to invest that high value pick in Rodgers. And I probably won't have a lot of shares either unless he does get into that fourth round range, which in some of these industry leagues, some of these high stakes leagues, I mean, Rodgers falls maybe to the fourth round. You know, who knows? But I'm not going to spend a first couple round, you know, 2-3 round pick on a quarterback. And it's simply because I just think that's so hard to overcome. As great as Rodgers is, as predictable as he's become. But I will tell you this. I do think that, you know, the further down these quarterbacks start going off the board, the more likely it is I'm going to invest in a top 5 or 6 quarterback. Because I do believe there's a big difference there. And to me, it comes down to the consistency factor. So a lot of things to digest from this article. It is behind the paid wall there, but I really recommend you become an Edge subscriber so you can see all this great content by myself and some of the others. And you'll definitely want to check this one out at Pro Football Focus. Let's get into some of the player moves. Because since I last checked in on episode 6, there's been some movement around the league. You know, this is the time of that we typically see a lot of, you know, just beat writers talking some things up. This is fluff time, as I like to call it. But they're, you know, they're trying to create news stories to get us to after the 4th of July when action really starts heating up now that mini camps are behind us. That said, we did have some early June cuts that are going to have some ripple effects in the fantasy world. Players on the move. I mean, I guess only one of these things I want to talk about is a cut as I talked to you this morning. And that is Jeremy Maclin, cut by the Chiefs. And this one was a bit of a surprise. Came about a week ago. You know, I was already out and about enjoying my weekend on a Friday night. Got the push alert there on the phone that in a salary cap move, the Chiefs decide to go ahead and part ways with Jeremy Maclin. And, you know, it's interesting because we still don't know where, as I talked to you today, we don't know where Macklin's going to end up. He has already visited with Buffalo. He has already visited in Baltimore, but he left both of those cities without a contract. He's going to chew on this a little bit. I think for him, the fact that Eric Decker is now also on the market. Decker is a guy that, as we talked this morning, as I record this right now, he has not officially been cut by the Jets. They've indicated they will eventually release him, but they can't work out a deal. They are reportedly talking to Baltimore themselves about a trade. So it makes the waters a little more murky for Maclin than they would have been without Decker now on the market. But let's face it, both of these guys are going to find a home. They're both going to remain fantasy relevant. I'm not going to get carried away with either, but I can't put out a judgment on what that's going to look like until we know the landing spot. I think what I do want to talk about today, though, is the departure of these receivers from their former teams and what that means from a fantasy standpoint. I think, obviously, in Kansas City, all the buzz now, all the excitement is going to be placed upon second-year wide receiver Tyreek Hill. He was one of the best second-half performers at the position a year ago, but you know, in some of my early drafts, I wasn't really targeting him because I felt like his value, given the number of expected opportunities I was envisioning, was a little bit overvalued, if I was being honest. So But rest assured, I with Macklin now out of the picture, this guy's going to be on the field more. Those opportunities are on the rise, as is his fantasy value. I have yet to really do a full refresh of my ranks in the past week or so. That's coming for me later this weekend, more than likely. I was sort of waiting to see if these guys landed so I could do it all in one swoop here during this slow period. But I think Tyreek Hill ends up as a surefire wide receiver too. Still like him more in a standard format. Definitely think he's a guy that is probably going to go, I don't know, maybe late round three, early round four in drafts. I mean, that's still a steep price, but let's face it. With the ball in his hands, this guy is as dynamic as any playmaker in this league. So Tyreek Hill definitely on the rise there. I think, Travis Kelce, I mean, this guy was already near the top of my list at tight end. I don't think he's going to change from being that guy. It only solidifies my take in him. Chris Conley going to get on the field there on the opposite side. Albert Wilson likely sliding into the slot. But with Alex Smith under center and expected to be this primary starter for this football team in 2016, I don't think I'm going too far down that depth chart from a fantasy perspective with much excitement. From the Jets standpoint, talk about not much excitement. In the passing game, they already had allowed Mr. Brandon Marshall to part ways earlier this offseason. Of course, he landed across the field. It moved his locker to the Giants side of the building. And Eric Decker, like I said, we don't know where he's going to go, but this was a guy that was clearly going to be the primary focus of this already anemic passing game. We're expecting Josh McCown to start the season at quarterback for the Jets. How long he remains under center, that's something we'll have to watch. I mean, this guy has been very brittle, and he's only getting a year older here, now on the verge of pushing 40 years of age. He's up there. I think he's 37 is the age just off the top of my head. But here's the point. With him, without Decker there, I mean, the first logical choice would be Quincy Enunwa as being a guy that could step up in the action. And we saw Enunwa bust onto the scene a little bit last year. And, I don't think I'm going to get crazy with Quincy Enunwa. I mean, certainly he's going to get a bump. Rookie our Darius Stewart. Here's a guy that's definitely going to be on the rise. I liked him already, more so in a dynasty format than a redraft league, so to say. But, you got Robbie Anderson still in the mix and maybe Austin Seferian Jenkins as the tight end there. But this is just a brutal passing game to look at here. I tell you what, the one thing the Decker move does for me, though, makes me realize that how much more of a viable and valuable piece that Bilal Powell will be in this team's passing attack. So I loved him before. I like him even more so now. Bilal Powell probably going to get a little bump up in this ranking update that we'll go through as well. One other interesting move I want to talk about since we last spoke, and that was Christian Michael. Here he is again, landing in Indianapolis after being cut by the Packers. And let's face it, the Colts backfield, I mean, you've got Frank Gore there, Robert Turbin. They drafted the youngster in Mac, but I think Christian Michael landed in a good spot, and I don't think it's too much to ask that he could compete potentially for a backup role on this team. But folks, I am done drinking this Kool-Aid, and I'll be the first to admit there have been times where I've picked up that glass and chugged it, and each time I end up choking myself, I have learned. I'm like the baby that touches the hot oven once and never gets burned the rest of their life because I'm done. So that's my answer. Sure, he's going to end up in my ranks all of a sudden. Who knows how high? Certainly not high enough to make him even draftable in most redraft 12-team leagues. But if you want to get excited about it, you want to drink the Kool-Aid, go ahead. I'm just trying to save you that trouble and save you that wasted time you might have there looking at one Christian Michael. We'll see how he does in camp. I mean, he could viably end up getting a few touches a game in this offense that certainly could use some help at running back. It's not like I'm totally enamored here with the Colts running back situation, so I don't see it mounting to much, but something we will certainly want to keep our eyes on as we start moving forward into some things. So there's your take on the moves. Of course, like I said, you can follow me on Twitter at Dan Claskins. It's where I give instant reaction as news breaks on some of these items. And, you know, tell me what you think of these players. What do you think there? And I'll certainly be updating and monitoring what's going on with Jeremy Maclin and Eric Decker as they search for a new home. Let's wrap up today's episode with a sort of an off-topic here. Not really off, because it is definitely fantasy-related. And GetSportsInfo.com, we still have our archive articles up there, you know, our tutorials, if you will. Fantasy 101, it's a series we run every summer and have done so for 10 years, and a lot of great contributors to this. And, you know, this week's topic there at GetSportsInfo on this is auction versus drafts. I wanted to talk a little bit about that because this is the time of the year where you're out there, you're creating your leagues, you got a lot of new things going on. Maybe you're thinking about leagues you want to do and enjoy. And this is the time of the year where I really start my annual pitch for, if you haven't done a fantasy football auction, you're really missing out. And that's definitely, I'd started an auction dynasty league that has several layers. You'll hear me talk about it on the podcast quite frequently, My Dream League Football years ago. And that was my real first dive into a football auction. Had plenty of baseball auctions before, but this one was different. And it sort of got me like really convinced that you have to do it. You have to be patient. Auctions take longer. You have to be committed. You know, you can't go and do some beer breaks and bathroom breaks and whatever else while you're waiting for your pick to come back around. So there are some differences, and we'll get into more of them in a minute. But the past couple years, I've actually started a redraft auction, which is, I like a lot. You know, with the Fantasy Dynasty auction, there's not the full player pool there. I really have learned to enjoy the redraft. And, you know, CBS, ESPN, Yahoo, Fantrax, I mean, most of these league managing tools out there have some really good auction platforms. There's also some good sites out there if you're going to do one offline where you can get some great tools. These auction boards we use every year, I mean, nothing like setting up the auction board. The math gets a little difficult because you're there with the Sharpie, and, you know, especially if you're doing it with, you know, some cocktails or what have you and having a little fun during your auction. If you don't have that dedicated person, that will be one piece of advice. I definitely think you should get an auctioneer if all possible. I mean, everybody in the league, throw up $5, $10, because when the owners take turns having to serve in that role, it definitely gets a little more complicated. You know, it takes you out of being able to engage as much. But some advantages of an auction to consider, I definitely think it's more fair. I mean, that's what I love about it. Why should some random process determine who the league gets, the best player, or the number one pick? To me, that is the biggest thing. I'm drawing out of the hat. Hey, I've got the 9th pick in this draft. Oh, that's great. That's 8 guys I didn't have a chance at, right? So I love the fact that all players are available to all owners. I also think it's more flexible. You know, often in snake drafts, your draft position ends up determining your strategy in which you build your team. Right? Because you're looking for value. And I've got, when I go into a draft, I'm not going in there, oh, I'm going to take a running back with my first 2 picks. And no. I know what players are worth the spots where they're at. I know my targets in each tier. And I go in there and let it take itself. That's why each draft is unique in its own. Now, I do end up running into the same players at times, for sure, because I have the same targets in these tiers. And some guys start dropping. That happens. So sometimes you shake it up just for that purpose. But the flexibility of an auction, you know, you're not allowing your draft position to get as involved, as because once again you have a chance at every player. So if you want to go 3 stud receivers and scrubs at running back, you can do it. You can do it in a draft too. But there's a lot of different approaches and a lot of different strategies. I think they're more fun. You know, the snake draft, I mean, it can really linger on. If you're on that turn, you know, pick 11 and then you pick again at 13 and then you're done for a while. Woo, man. Especially if it's an offline draft, it's taking 3 minutes, 4 minutes a pick. So you're engaged here every pick, and to me, that's a plus. More strategic as well, as we talked about. So those are just some of my advantages of an auction that I see. If you want to see the full list of advantages, some drawbacks of an auction, some tips for some beginners, if you want to participate or set up your own, check it out. It's at GetSportsInfo.com on the hashtag MyOneMoreThing blog there. Just click on blog when you go to the site. You'll see all of it. And, you know, we're very happy to be talking those. We'll do some more Fantasy 101 on the podcast throughout the summer. But they'll definitely have a lot more of those available for you on the site. that's all the time we got for today. Just wanted to thank you for listening in. As always, you know, we couldn't do the podcast without you. If you got some suggestions, some topics, things you want me to talk about, hit me up on Twitter at Dan Klaskins. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast. iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, and SoundCloud is where you can get it. You can always get it there at GetSportsInfo.com. When we check back in about a week from now with episode number 8 of the Get Sports Info podcast, we're going to welcome in another friend in fantasy and continue along with our divisional primers. We'll take a look at the NFC North. Go team by team. We'll do so with my good friend, Dennis Farrell. Check him out on Twitter, at Dennis77Farrell. He's from Fantasy Football Geekly, a podcast guru. Who knows? We might have to make our hashtag my one more thing favorite wrestlers of all time. We'll make up that list because he is a wrestling guru. So I'm sure we'll squeeze in some wrestling for you fans out there that like that as well. That's all the time we have for today, folks. Thanks for listening. We'll check you out next time when we return with the Get Sports Info podcast. Get Sports.